Good morning, my hearty members, and welcome to First Congregational Church. Whoever you are and wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. So, we're here, Southwick canceled. I know, I said, I'm going to be around. I said, I'll do it. I said, I'm going to Westfield. So there wasn't even a question that we weren't. I was like, yeah, I'm ready. So, but anyhow, there's at least two very tan people in the congregation. I've been looking at beach pictures on Facebook. Welcome back. You're welcome. So, announcements this morning. So we will have coffee hour afterwards, but what I would like you to do is to please go home afterwards, okay? it is supposed to keep snowing. And it's supposed to get, there's a winter weather advisory which says up to 4 or 5 inches before the whole thing is over. So just keep that in mind, please. We will not have youth group this afternoon. That is our casualty. We will not have youth group this afternoon. Just keeping everyone safe, just in case. So we just made that decision. We'll just do that much anyway. Our office is closed tomorrow for the holiday. It's Martin Luther King Day. We are not serving lunch tomorrow. We are not, our church is closed, our office is closed. We'll be back open on Tuesday. I will work from home on Tuesday morning. I have meetings all afternoon in Wilbraham. So I'm going to be at home. If you need me, email me. I'll call you. I'll get right back to you. I will be here on Wednesday. I'll be here Wednesday during the day. I'll be in Southwick on Thursday afternoon. I'll be here Thursday morning for the lunches. All right. So I am in, out, about, and around. If you need me, email me, please. Are there any other announcements this morning? Hearing none. Let us worship God.
Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship as found in your worship guide. O God, you called us by name to come, and we respond with the light and gladness. Rising out of the depths of despair, we gratefully gather for worship.
In joyful hope, we come to worship our God.
Our God has given us a new song of praise to sing to our awesome God.
In joyful trust, we come to worship our God.
And now let us join in our opening hymn, Someone's Knocking at Your Door, Blue Hymnal number 326.
Somebody's knocking at your door.
join me in the prayer of invocation is found in your worship guide. Holy One, may our spirits be polished arrows in the quiver of your searching love. May our words ring true with shouts of praise. Use us, gracious God, as instruments of your mercy and compassion. Fashion us into vessels of your Holy Spirit, that a world torn by brokenness and pain might touch your healing love through our fellowship with you and one another. We ask this in the name of the one who taught us to call you our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Shay, are you going to stay here with us this morning? Nice. Okay.
Our first reading is taken from the 49th chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah, where I will begin with the first verse. Listen to me, O coastlands, pay attention, you people from far away. The Lord called me before I was born, while I was in my mother's womb. He named me. He made my mouth into a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow in his quiver. He hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing in vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God." And now the Lord says, "Who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him? For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength." And he says, "It is to light a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light in the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up. Princes and all shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." Our God is still speaking. And now please join me in the responsive reading taken from Psalm 40 as found in your bulletin. "I waited patiently upon the Lord, who turned to me and heard my cry. God lifted me out of the desolate pit, out of the mire and clay, and set my feet on a high cliff and made my footing sure."
God lifted a song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many shall see and stand in awe and put their trust in the Lord.
Happy are they who trust in the Lord. They do not resort to evil spirits or turn to false gods.
Great things are they that you have done, O Lord my God. How great your wonders and your plans for us.
None can be compared to you. Oh, that I could make them know. Tell them that they are more than I can count.
In sacrifice and offering, you take no pleasure. You have given me ears to hear you. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you have not required.
And so I said, "Behold, I come. In the roll of the book, it is written concerning me. I love to do your will, O my God. Your law is deep within my heart.
I proclaim your righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I did not restrain my lips, and that, O Lord, you know.
Your righteousness have I not hidden in my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your deliverance. I have not concealed your love and faithfulness from the great congregation.
You are the Lord. Do not withhold your compassion from me. Let your love and your faithfulness keep me safe forever.
A reading from the beginning of Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you in peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind. Just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the partnership of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our God is still speaking.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading this morning comes to us from the Gospel of John, where I will begin in the first chapter with the 29th verse. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the chosen one." And again, the day after that, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and he watched Jesus walk by. He exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following, and he said, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon, and he said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter.
the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Go to the mailbox with anticipation of a letter or a postcard from a relative or friend. We, of course, would have to write something in return. We usually wrote things out by hand, or in special cases, by typewriter. As a freshman orientation group leader in college, I remember sitting in the training session hearing Dean Hershey. Anybody know Dean Hershey at Westfield State? Right? Dean Hershey was the Associate Dean of Students and ran freshman orientation. And he said to us, "You will send handwritten letters to each of your freshmen before they arrive to orientation," which meant you sent letters to 20 people. We didn't have a computer at our disposal in 1981, so of course it meant that we were going to write them. Well, those letters and those that we received were our way of communicating with our families before emails and texting and all-inclusive phone plans were in style. It was a big deal to make a long-distance call, even out of your area code, especially out of your area code. So letters were the way to communicate with anyone who was away from you. Letters and messages were simply a way of life, dating back to the time, and even before this, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians. Paul helped establish early Christian communities in Corinth, where he spent about a year. And some scholars believe that this was around the years of the 40s, right? Not the 1940s, the 40s. O-O-4-O, all right? This letter would be after he left and was in Ephesus, based on a reference in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians. Now, you can imagine that while he was with them in Corinth, issues could be addressed immediately, and people would generally behave well while the leader was around. It doesn't mean that the people were afraid of Paul, but they did so out of respect. Paul's two letters to the church in Corinth dealt with some pretty specific issues. Paul had received a letter from one of the church leaders that outlined some of the concerns. The people were in disagreement about the spiritual leadership of the church with Paul and others. Issues around what to eat and what not to eat, and issues around relationships of physical nature. It also appears that there were issues about their care and concern for others. It is also important to note that Paul, like many other followers of the way, remember that's what we called the early Christian communities, they called themselves followers of the way, Paul was convinced about the imminent second coming of Christ. Paul devoted some of his letter to this as he reminded them not to waste time on fighting about which church leader to follow, but to love each other dearly. Chapter 13. Without love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, and reminds them of their great responsibility to love one another as faith, hope, and love remain. But the greatest of these is
love.
There you go. Well, here we are in 2026. And we're still fighting about who we will follow. Not necessarily on a spiritual level, but we still have our discussions and how we will live out our lives and what we're willing to do or not do, and the importance of loving our neighbors and church members as ourselves. We have to recognize that we are the recipients of the love of God, the love of Jesus, and the receivers of the Holy Spirit. We are followers of Christ who still make mistakes in how we live out this call to live out and spread the gospel message. We can get carried away by what message we receive, how the message is perceived, and what we look like to the outside world. Imagine if, like the early apostles in the gospel reading this morning, we encountered Jesus and inquired as to where he lived or to where he was staying. What if not? Don't put yourself back then. Right now, 2026, what if we encountered Jesus and said to him, "Where do you live? Where are you staying?" Given what we know about his love for the poor Do we think he might be staying at a nice hotel? We don't know. How many of us would actually respond to his reply? Come and see. Would we trust Jesus enough? I ask this because the people of Corinth were asked to trust people enough to love them. I believe that our church here in Westfield, First Congregational Church of Westfield, I believe that we are being asked to come and see where we find Christ staying, living, breathing, and even existing in our communities. We are being asked to respond with love. The same love that the early Christian community in Corinth was reminded to show. Where will our call to being Christians take us? Much like those Corinthians, we too have mail. Remember the old AOL? You've got mail. So, yeah, we've got mail. And we have to figure out how we are going to respond to it. I invite all of us to take some time in the coming week, whether you're sitting inside watching it snow, after the Patriots, whenever. But how are we going to respond? Amen. Let's take a few moments of quiet reflection. As we come to prayer this morning, we're ever mindful of the needs of our world, the needs of our nation. We pray for our world leaders to guide with justice and peace, and the same with our national leaders. We pray for our local areas, whether we live in Westfield or Russell, Montgomery, Southwick, Agawam, or in beyond. We pray for each other. We remember those prayers from our prayer list. We celebrate with those who have celebrations this week. And of course, as always, we remember those prayers that remain in the silence of our hearts, known only to us, to God. And may God be with you. Please pray with me. Gracious God, you have enriched and enlightened us by the revelation of your eternal Christ. Comfort us in our mortality and strengthen us to walk the path of your desire, so that by word and deed we may manifest the gracious news of your faithfulness and love. O Holy One, Father, Mother of Christ, who asked the disciples, "What are you looking for?" and who offered the invitation to come and see, open our hearts to reveal and give us the courage to follow. By your Spirit, aid us in our journey so that, like John, our words and deeds point to the Lamb of God. For those who are suffering, let us point to Christ through comfort. For those who are hungry, let us point to Christ through bread. For those in the grip of despair, let us point to Christ through hope. Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, grant that your people, illumined by your word, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. My friends, what does God require of us, and with what shall we come before the Lord? It is not with sacrifice and burnt offerings, but with hearts filled with praise and lives spent on justice. With joy and thanksgiving for the tender mercies of our God, may today's offering be a sign of our commitment to bring God's justice and compassion to our world. With this, our morning offering will now be received.
Thank you.
grace and God of glory, you bless us with water and the Spirit, that we might know the fullness of life. As we strive to be a light to the nations, may others be brought to the dawn of your glory. Bless the gifts we bring now before you, that they might reach the very ends of the earth and help those struggling to find the light. Amen. Will do this, for God is faithful. God will never give up on us. Amen.